Planet?
Yeah.
Okay. Erev Tov, this is Chaim Brabender, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva. We're going to learn together a little bit of the Parsha Tashabuah. You know that it's very rare that the Parsha of Kedoshim comes on a single Shabbat, and the Parsha before it, Acharei Mot, comes on an earlier Shabbat. Usually, these two Parshiyot come together, so we have an opportunity to talk about the Parsha of Kedoshim. But of course, the mystery of Kedoshim is in the first pasuk. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, God speaks to Moshe and says to him, Daber kol adat b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire population of the people of Israel, v'amarta aleihem, and you say to them, Kedoshim to Yuki Kadosh and Yashem Elokechem. This pasuk is without a doubt mysterious. First of all, why does the Torah emphasize that Moshe Rabbeinu should speak to the entire community of Israel? In what way is the mitzvah that he's about to teach different than all the other mitzvot where this condition is not stated? And then, v'amarta aleihem, you see that? This is what you should say to them, kedoshim to you. Now, the word kedoshim, I don't think that it's an easy word to translate, but we can imagine that the word has something to do with sanctity, even though we may not know what sanctity is. But kedoshim to you is sort of like a directive, which is hard to fulfill. I mean, how do you become kedoshim? Ki kadosh ani Hashem. That's even more difficult. I understand. We imagine that we're able sometimes to perform things in the manner of imitatio Dei, of copying the way God's action. But how could we copy the way that God is? That's a little bit hard for me to understand. So this pasuk is annually a crux. What exactly does it mean? And what mitzvah is being referred to? So Rashi takes the following stand. He said, first, he explains Melamed. You see the Rashi on the sheet, Melamed. Shne'emra parasha zo b'hakel. They're all together. Everybody comes together mipnei. And what's the reason? Why do we have this condition that all of B'nai Yisrael have to be there when Moshe Rabbeinu teaches this halacha? Sherov gufei Torah tluyim ba. Again, you know, it's not always easy to know what Rashi means, but he says, Mibnei Sherov, most of the important, the substantive parts of Torah are connected to this directive. So not only don't we understand what Kedoshim Tiyu means, but we now don't understand the most important mitzvah of all. Rashi, kedoshim to you. He continues to explain what that might be. Evu prushim in arayot umin haveira. Now, arayot, forbidden sexual encounters, are part of what the parasha of kedoshim are about. You remember, we read those things on Yom HaKippurim. Rov gufei Torah tluyim ba. And somehow, this is a very important thing, but Rashi adds, Umin ha'avera. Min ha'avera means everything that is prohibited. Everything that is prohibited. Shekol makom shata motzei geder erva. Wherever you find that there is a limit to some sort of sexual activity, ata motzei kedusha. That's the definition of Kedusha. Keep yourself in a state of holiness by not getting involved, right? Not getting involved in forbidden relationships. So this is, why is this different than any other mitzvah? Why is this different than Shmirat Shabbat or Mo'adim? I mean, why is it different? Whatever it is that you're forbidden to do is produces a lack of Kedusha, and whatever you keep, that you are adding Kedusha. But that's what Rashi says. In order to understand Rashi, we have to look together at the Ramban. The Ramban is the one who explained to us what Rashi really meant. Look at the Ramban on Kedoshim Tiyu. We're getting close. The Ramban quotes Rashi, "Have a prushim min harayot min haveira shekol makom shetam motzei geder erva." Lashon Rashi means, end quote. Aval b'torat kohanim, there's a medrash, a collection of rabbinic interpretations on the book of Vayikra, which we call Torat Kohanim. That's the name that we give to that book. It's a separate book, but it has a lot of material that appears in the Gemara and in the Rashi as well. Here, in this case, the Ramban says, "I saw something." Torat Kohanim, ra'iti stam, brushim tiyu. I saw that there's a different version, and the version of Torat Kohanim is prushim tiyu. The word prushim refers to people who are very careful in the way they do the mitzvot and they fulfill their obligations. They separate themselves. Parush is a person who separates himself from the other people because he's much more careful. V'chein shanu sham, and another place, v'chein shanu sham, in the parasha of Shmini, right in the Torah Kohanim, Vehit kadishtem, there's a pasuk that says Vehit kadishtem vehitem kedoshim ki kadosh ani, something similar. You should become kadosh. You should be kadosh because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol, am kadosh. Kishem sha'ani kadosh, the Ramban explains, kach atem diyu kadoshim. Kishem sha'ani parush kem atem diyu prushim. This is apparently the way it appears there in that Torah Kohanim, that there's an absolute reflection of the way Hashem is, the way we might be. Ulefi da'ati, the Ramban says. So it was the Ramban has quoted two sources. You remember Rashi? Every prushim in harayot, there's specificity in Rashi. Sexual activity. Don't get involved in illicit sexual activity. Prushim in harayot. The Ramban says there are sources that seem to indicate that there's no min harayot. There's no min harayot. That doesn't exist. Have a prushim, separate yourself, be separate, so that we don't know exactly what we're talking about. So the Ramban says, Lefi dati, you see those words here at the end of the line? Lefi dati, Ein haprishut hazo, lefrosh min ha'arayot kidivrei harav. That's not what we are supposed to be doing. Someone separating us. It's not the topic. It's not about illicit sexual activity. Rusho, Kedivrei HaRav, Aval HaPrishut. What does the Prishut that the Medrash is talking about refer to? He hamuskeret b'kol makom b'talmud, something which is indicated many times in the Talmud, in many passages, she ba'aleha nikra'im prushim, that you should become a person who is called parush, prushim. V'anyan. And what does that mean? What does it mean the Torah says kedoshim to you, which now we know according to the Ramban means prushim to you, which means be special, be separate, be your own person. Enyan, the Ramban says, you see that word v'anyan? V'anyan means this is what the Gemara means. This is what the Chazal meant. The Torah is kira b'ma'arayot v'ma'chalim asurim v'itira habia ish v'ishto. He says, you know, you look at the Torah and you see that the Torah is very concerned about what we eat. The parasha of Shmini, the things you're allowed to eat, the things you're not allowed to eat, right? The Torah is concerned about eating. And the Torah is concerned, 1 second, let me just straighten this out. Yeah. Sheba'aleha nikra'im prushim ha'inyan. You see the word ha'inyan? Ki ha'Torah is hira ba'arayot. The Torah is very concerned about sexual encounters that are forbidden. V'machalim asurim. And food that you should not partake of. V'itira, but the Torah said it's beseder mutar to have sexual activity each be ishto, v'achilat basar v'hayayin, but you're allowed to eat meat and wine. In other words, there's a sort of ideological distinction that the Ramban wants us to kind of understand, that the Talmud, that the Gemara, that the Halacha doesn't want you to just eat everything. But there are things that you're not, that you're allowed to eat. And the Torah does want you to act in a certain way with other people, but with your own, the husband and wife together, they can do that. Sheba'aleha nikra'im, I'm sorry, imkein yimtza b'zeh ha'ta'ava makom liyot shatuf b'zimat ishto. He says it means that if a person has to make a decision, and he can make the wrong decision. It was, for example, the Torah says you can't have sexual activity freely. You can't have it freely. You have to avoid certain kinds of relationships. That's what the Torah says. So the person says, okay, I want to have those kind of relationships, but I to have a relation with my wife, and he calls it zimat ishto, that you could have an involvement, a sexual involvement with your wife, which is not acceptable. Oh, nashava rabot, according to the Torah, you could have a lot of wives. V'liyot b'subay yayin b'zol le'basar lamo. So according to the Torah, you can't eat a non-kosher food, but you could be a glutton and eating kosher food and drinking kosher wine, even though the Torah limits the amount of food that you eat and the types of food that you eat, but not the amount of food that you eat. Bizola le basar lamo, you could become one of the, like a real glutton and eat meat all day long and all night long. And obviously what he's getting at is an idea. Vayedaber kirtzono b'kol hanivalot eket shelo huzkar isur zeh batorah. And he'll speak forbidden things because it's not specifically forbidden. He'll talk about these activities, about overeating, And it's not asur, it's not forbidden in the Torah specifically. The great statement of the Ramban, Naval Birshut HaTorah. He's figured out a way to be a despicable person within the category of Torah. You could say, do you eat meat with all the hechsherim possible in the world? Yes. I would never think of eating anything that didn't have all that sherim in the world, but I overeat it. I talk about it. I have like total involvement. I'm totally involved in food and eating and things like that. Says he calls him a Naval Birshut HaTorah, somebody who is a despicable person, but not contradicting any particular Torah law. Lefikach ba'katuv. And therefore, the Pasuk has come to say, Acharei she'parat ha'isurim, after the Torah in the Acharei Mot detailed all the forbidden sexual activities, which are totally forbidden, v'tziva b'davar klali she'niyeh purushim min ha'motarot, and said in general, that we should be sort of like avoid excess. Yima'et b'mishkal, he shouldn't have too much sexual activity, even with his own wife. Kenyan she'amru, as what the Gemara says, shelo yutal midei chachome metzuyim etzel nishoteihem ketarnegolin. So according to the Ramban, you look at the Torah. You see, where did the Torah give us reason to reflect? He says, oh, it has to do, you see it clearly in sexual activity and in eating. So take eating. There are many, in order to eat a piece of meat, in order for an Orthodox Jew to eat a piece of bread, the amount of mitzvah activity that you have to go through in order to prepare that piece of meat or that piece of bread for to become edible is absolutely, absolutely remarkable. And therefore, it must be that there's a general idea that is not stated in the Torah that has something to do with eating. He says, "Velo yishamesh elo yishamesh elo kavi atzorich b'kiyum mitzvah mimenu." You shouldn't do things beyond what is necessary. So, for eating, what is necessary, you want to keep yourself alive. So you have to eat, but you don't have to be a glutton. B'kadesh atzmo min hayayin b'miyuto, and you should achieve some level of kedusha by not drinking too much wine, limiting the amount. Kemo shekara katuv anazir kadosh. The pasuk called the nazir, the person who avoids, who doesn't drink wine at all, calls him kadosh. V'yizkor haraot haniskarot mimenu b'torah benoach uvelot, and you remind yourself of the bad things that happened in the world to Noach and to Lot because of the wine. V'chein yafrish atzmo min hatumah, he should separate himself from things that are unclean. Af al pi shelo huzharnu mimena b'Torah, even though it's not something which we were taught to do in the Torah. So, the Ramban comes up with this wondrous idea, which forms the basis of books like the Mesilat Yesharim, which is a book that many of you may have seen or seen part of from time to time. But the Mesilat Yesharim of the Ramchal is the book which sort of deals with this problem that the Ramban brings up. And the problem is that the Torah doesn't prevent you. if you don't think about things correctly, if you don't have the idea clearly in your mind. So the Ramban teaches us that you could be a Naval Gershut HaTorah. Somebody who is Kadosh is a person who understands. The Chachamim in the Talmud, they understood. And therefore, when it was necessary, they enacted protective kinds of features of halakha, protective, in order to protect us from making mistakes, and in order to make sure that we don't achieve this unacceptable level of naval birshut HaTorah, which the Ramban has reminded us of. And so we are directed by the Ramban to consider what we are doing and to understand if what we are doing has an implication that we must follow, so that we look at the amount of effort that the Jewish people or the Jewish community has to invest in getting to the point where I can get to eat a piece of meat. It's not easy. It's not easy. There's the animal and the status of the animal and then the shechita and the quality of the shechita and then all the things that have to be done for the meat to be properly delivered to the people who are going to eat it. And this is not a simple matter. It's not a simple matter at all. And so we come to the conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to consider eating. And we could come to the conclusion that we shouldn't eat more than we actually need. We shouldn't eat things that are not necessary. And we shouldn't be involved eating with eating. I mean, I was somebody showed me a recent article in the New Yorker. The author wrote a very, very long article about a restaurant in southern France. I mean, you can be involved in things that are not important for us and not important for maintaining the status of Prushim, which the Ramban agreed to, right? The Ramban agreed that the Pasuk is directing us to be Prushim, but his explanation of Prushim is Prushim min hamotarot. You don't have to involve yourself with excess, with things that are not absolutely necessary. Of course, it's not so easy to get to that. But he says it, if you look, we'll skip a line. Yevagam yishmor piv ulishono. He says, he arbitrarily says, this idea of kedoshim to you means you shouldn't talk. Miha mitgael beribuy achila gasa umina dibura nimas. Don't talk about food in an ugly way. And don't talk in a manner which is sort of disgusting. V'chein shenikra nazir kadosh, etc. V'chein yishmor pivu lishonom et gael, biribuy achila gasar min adibur hanimas, keinyan, sheskira katuv, and there are psukim that called pedover nevala, pasuk in Yeshayahu. You could actually talk in a disgusting manner, and this is how you produce kedusha. How you produce kedusha? Ad sheyagia leprishut, until he becomes in the category of Pashparush about a person who separates himself because of his understanding of things, the way he wants to be. Kamasha Amru al Rabbi Chia Shelo Sach Sicha Betela Miyamav. So it is said about Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who is exalted, had a special personality, and he never spoke anything unnecessary. He was always careful. Ve'elu uchiyotzei bahen ba'amitzvah hazot haklalit. So this is what the pasuk means and what the mitzvah is. Kedoshim tiyu. How can you become kedoshim? You expand your understanding of what the Torah wants of you. You're not only careful about the directive in the Torah, but you're careful about the idea that is behind that directive. If you get to the idea behind the directive, it means you're keeping the Torah in a different manner. You're keeping the Torah in a more exalted manner. You're not only eating the kosher meat, you're avoiding bad habits that are directed in the Torah. It's the directed in the Torah itself. So we see that Rashi was not prepared to go that far. But it is possible to say that the Rabban kind of took Rashi under his wing. The Rabban said, this is what Rashi really means. This is not, it's not just that doing the mitzvah makes you parush, although it could be. But Rashi said, what I say is that Naval Bershut HaTorah is something that has to be avoided. And you can't imagine that if you are maligning the words of Torah by acting in an unacceptable manner, if you act in an unacceptable manner, then somehow you are going to be praised for that. No. Naval Bershut HaTorah, the examples that he brings are clear. He, the Ramban, the examples that the Ramban brings up are really very, very, very clear. You know that next week is the celebration of Yom HaTzmaut, and of course, I think this year more than other years, there's a difficulty. I mean, we find ourselves in a difficult position. I think people who are sensitive don't understand why everything has become so difficult all of a sudden. I mean, it's true that not everybody thought that Yom HaTzmaut was a major holiday that should be celebrated. There were people who thought that the celebration of Yom HaTzmaut I find it difficult to understand, but was somehow unacceptable. It was unacceptable to thank Hashem for the goodness that we have living here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I don't understand that, but it was pretty clear that, you know, if your position was yes to Yom HaTzmaut, yes to Medinat Yisrael, yes to Eretz Yisrael, if that was your position, there was nothing that you didn't have to worry about it. It was reasonable. It was reasonable. And, you know, if somebody disagreed, so they disagreed. And it seemed to me that over time, the less popular position, the Haredi position, for example, was being worn down. And you can't, it's very hard to look that kind of goodness in the face and and reject it out of hand. So I don't want to thank Hashem. I mean, it's like, you know, it's sort of an untenable position for religious people. I remember they used to say, you know, the Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik in Boston, you know, there's a lot of Soloveitchiks you have to, who I had the honor of, participating in a shiur that he gave, in a daily shiur, which was given two or three times a week. But that was the daily shiur. So you know that when Rabbi Soloveitchik came to America, he was a member of the rabbinical organization called Agudat Yisrael. Agudat Yisrael, and then at some later time, he switched and he left Agudat Yisrael and became a member of Mizrahi. And of course, in the Mizrahi world, he was held as the Talmudic authority. And he was appreciated, very well appreciated by that community. But they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, sometime, this is the story that I heard, I don't know. You know, stories, if they're good, they get repeated, not only if they're true. But they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik why he left Agudat Yisrael to join the Mizrahi. Agudat Yisrael, all the great, or the notable Rabbanim who came from Europe to America were part of Agudat Yisrael, and very few in the Mizrahi. He said, why do you leave Mizrahi and go to Agudat Yisrael? He says he couldn't forgive them for the fact that they did not appreciate what God had done after the Holocaust in creating Medinat Yisrael. So, back again. We are kind of in a state of confusion this year, more than other years, I think. I think other years I saw and I felt very much that we're going in the right direction, and all of a sudden, everything is compared to the Holocaust. This is a Holocaust, there's another Holocaust, there's anti-Semitism. I mean, words that really hurt. They bite into you. Like, what did we do exactly that made this all happen? What did we do that made this all happen? And so, maybe this explanation in the Ramban, maybe this explanation in the Ramban is not about an option. It's not about, you know, you could become that way. You could become a parush. But maybe what he means is daber b'nei yizkor adat, the pasuk, daber kol adat b'nei yizkor v'amata lehem kedoshim to you. It looks to me like a command. It looks to me like a command. It's like the Torah says, you can't be stupid. You can't live stupidly. You can't try to get away with it. You can't do that. And that this pasuk and this idea in the Ramban is a challenge. It's a challenge, of course, for the people who learn the Ramban, for the people who feel that the Torah is a way of directing life. And life, in this case, meaning the larger community. All of the people are part of this life, as Rav Kook tried to prove. So you know, there's this. Just 1 second. I want to show you something. You know that the Torah that we read from on Shabbat morning, the Torah scroll that we read from, is not vocalized. doesn't have the dots, right? Doesn't have it. And because of that, or at least maybe in part because of that, you could actually read the words in different ways. It's not, there's no obligation. I mean, today there is an obligation. That's why if you ask somebody who's a Baal Kori, somebody who reads the Torah in shul, he has to practice, has to learn the reading, because the letters that are written in the Torah scroll don't always give you the amount of information that you need. Right? It just doesn't do it. On the other hand, because of that fact that there are no vowels, kind of indicated that you could find meaning from reading the words in different ways. This is, why aren't there any vowels in the Torah? Why weren't there any vowels at that time of the world? Why was the Torah given without vowels? Not just so that the Baal Kori should have trouble. That wasn't the reason. The reason was that you could read the words of the Torah in different ways and come up with different necessary and important meaning. And as a result of all of that, there were like methods of doing this, right? There's like a kriyuchtiv, right? Kriyuchtiv, like you could read a word in two different ways. So we learned to read it in the way they read it in shul on Shabbat, but you could read it the other way. Everybody knows the Vilna Gaon wrote commentaries on the kriyuchtiv. I mean, wasn't the only one. In Chassidut, they certainly talk about that. Besides kriyuchtiv, which means don't read it this way, read it that way. Don't read it with this kind of vocalization, read it with that kind of vocalization. And from that, you get a lot of information out of the Torah that you didn't know that you could get. So that I want to tell you that there are other ways of doing it besides kriyuchtiv. There are abbreviations. Sometimes there are dots written on top of words in the Torah, which indicate that you should erase it sometimes and not erase it. Not all the time, right? All of these things. Well, one of the interesting ways of finding new interpretations of the Torah is Atbash. Atbash. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And Taf is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you made a chart, At Bash, and then Bet At Bash, and Bet with the Shin, right? You see, and it's like a code. Like you have this code, and you figured out, you rewrote all the words according to At Bash, you'd get new information. New information. Interestingly enough, this idea is written up in the Tur. The Tur is the book that preceded what we call the Shulchan Aruch, written by Rabbi Yaakov Baal HaTurim, the son of the Rosh. And he talks about, if you look here at the top, Yamim, Shiruyim, Ikboim, Moadim, Rashi Chodashim. There's some kind of key here. He's talking about the calendar. How do you know which days will come, which holidays can fall on which day? So here at the end of this section, he says this. We'll read it together. Siman l'kviyut ha-moadim. He says, I want to tell you how we know what day the different holidays are going to fall out on. It's a siman. It's like a code, he says. At Bash Gar Dak Hats Sap. You ever see that? You come across that, then when you're learning, you would really be out of business. So that's what I tried to explain to you. At you exchange the aleph for a taf, and the bet to a shin, and the gimel for a resh, and the dalet for a kuf, the hay for the tzadi, and the zayin for the pay. Perusho. Perusho. Perusho means this has meaning. This has a meaning. I'm reading to you the words of the Torah. One of the most important Jewish books ever written. Perusho, B'yom Aleph Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, Yeh Le'olam Tisha B'Av. What was the first day of Pesach this year? What was the first, what day of the week was Pesach? Monday?
Monday night.
Tuesday. So that means on Tuesday it'll be Tisha B'Av full out on Tuesday. V'siman al matzot u'morim yochlu. And we remind ourselves that Tisha B'Av, the edit, like not on Pesach. B'yom bet bash, right? Bet bash. So B'yom bet of Pesach is the day of Shavuot. B'yom gimel bo, Rosh Hashanah. B'yom dalet bo, Kriyat HaTorah. Yes? B'yom hey. Biyom Dalet Bokriyat Torah, Perush Simchat Torah, Biyom Hei Bo Tzom Kippur. Right on the fifth day of Pesach, the same day of the week, will come out to be Hei Tzadi, and then Biyom Zayin. B'yom Zayin Purim. One. Zayin Purim. Now it stops here. I mean, the tour is stopped, but you could continue, I guess. You know, he said the last one he said was Zayin Pei. The seventh day of Pesach is Purim, the same day of the week. So that means you could go on, right? What we come on is Chet Ayin. Chet Ayin. What? No? Zayin Pei. I'm sorry, Vav. Okay, hey, Vav, Purim. But then Zion is Ayin. Zion, Ayin. What's Ayin? Which all the modern people figured out. Ayin is Yom Atzmaut, which doesn't appear in the Torah because the Torah was written several hundred years ago and there was no Yom Atzmaut, but it does work out as Yom Atzmaut, and therefore, we could say that hidden in the words of the Adbash, hidden in the code of the Adbash, is a reference to Yom Atzmaut. Our problem is not the day of Yom Atzmaut, which is recognized by all, but imbuing it with the kind of kedusha that the pasuk was interested in. I remember when I came to Israel, I mean, Yom HaSvot was a day of a wild festival. But I think that is changing and that people are more interested in a more substantial kind of Yom HaSvot, something that is meaningful and makes modern Jewish history a little bit more understandable. So it may be that that's what the Ramban was directing us to. We not only have an opportunity as individuals to do the right thing, but we have an opportunity as part of a larger community of Jews were held together very strongly by their traditions and their interests and the fact that we are building a world together here in Eretz Yisrael, that we might take up the tour and say that there is something hidden that we have to avail ourselves of. We have to make it. We have to make that next idea. Chet Vei. Chet Ayin. Chet Ayin. Yom Atzmaut, hidden in the Atbash about the days of the Yamim Tovim. All the best to you. Chag Sameach. Shabbat Shalom. Be well.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Have a good Chodesh.
Good Chodesh. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.